Praise the Lord. Well, I hope I'm on. Brother Shad mentioned worshiping the Lord, I believe, at the close of the message. Worshiping the Lord in sincerity. What we thought on this week was on worshiping the Lord. And I'll just start with this scripture here. John chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 24. You're familiar with the passage. You're familiar with the story here about Jesus must needs go through Samaria and comes to the well, Jacob's well at Sychar, and there he sits. And then the woman of Samaria comes, and Jesus has this conversation with the woman. It's all that the Lord could save her, all that He could redeem her, all for that He could redeem her there. But she tries to put Him on a rabbit trail. He gets her back on task and gets her back on course here, looking to Him. But at verse 23, He's talking to her about worship. And Jesus says to her, "But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, and we do love You, Lord God. We thank You, Father, for this day that we could come as Your people, God, and gather to hear Your Word preached. Father, we pray, Lord, that You'd take this word now, God, use it to encourage us and help us, Lord, as Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In prayer, burdened and troubled, a man was praying. And he was praying for the Lord's will to be done. He wasn't praying for his will to be done. You might have been there before. We get troubles and trials and things that weigh us down. And so I think we've all been there at one time or another, but this man was praying, and then in prayer, somewhere in there, he can't really rightly explain it perhaps, but in prayer, there was a realization of God's manifested presence with him. And immediately, he began praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And the man found that in worshiping the Lord, them burdens and them things that was troubling his soul, they just seemed to vanish away. And to the man, it was as though the Lord was saying this to him. Why don't you just worship Me? You see, sometimes we get too focused on our troubles and our trials and the burdens of our life. We get weighted down. We get beat down. But the Lord gave us these few little thoughts here. Perhaps they might help us today. Now, I know that I'm singing to the choir today, if I've sung it to the choir anywhere. But perhaps it could help us. Sometimes we need to be reminded to worship the Lord. And we want to touch on the obvious. We want to touch on this morning, the object of our worship. We want to touch on the time to worship, the place to worship, and the beauty of worship. Now, touching on the obvious, the object of our worship, well, it's the Lord our God. The Lord is the object of our worship. Worship, I've heard Brother Lynn say it before. Worship ascribes worth. Worship is, let me put it another way. It's my valuation, how I value the Lord who I'm worshiping. The words this morning was mentioned adoration. How I look to the Lord, the adoration I have for Him, the reverence I have for Him, how I esteem the Lord. All that is ascribing worth to the Lord. Worship demonstrates just how highly we value the Lord. And we're not the object of worship. We're not the object of worship. Boy, it tears me up sometimes when I see folks come in and they're so preoccupied with primping. Huh? We went into the church the other day and Brother Brad mentioned to me, "We don't have a mirror here." I didn't say it to him, but I thought to myself, good. Because they had all stopped and paused there to primp. Right? Good place for a scripture right there. Amen. And so we're not the object of worship. I would like to say also temporal things are not the object of our worship. A fella got him a brand new big fine. I'm talking about big fine, one of them big fine Chevy four-wheel drive trucks, black, I mean just decked out, got everything, and it's pretty. That truck's not an object of worship. That truck ought not take one nickel from the Lord's tithe. It ought not take nothing from the house of God. It's not an object of worship, and neither are boats or guns or any of them other toys. They're not objects of worship. And so the house of God is not the object of worship. Some people have got it all messed up. I mean, I'm not going to get... but listen, you can dim the lights, you can burn you some candles, you can put you up some ungodly idols. That's not going to make it a place to come and worship. The house is not the object of worship. I heard Brother Lynn preach this up in Smithfield, Mississippi. I'm not preaching his message, by the way, but I'm taking one thing out of it. The object of our worship is El Bethel. He's the God of the house of God. Amen. We come to worship. We come to worship the Lord our God and not ourselves, not anything of man. True worship of the Lord ascribes worth to the Lord. And if you look in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, we find true worship. And buddy, one day we're going to be amongst it. Amen. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10 and 11, John tells us the four and the 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things before Thy pleasure they are and were created. So, listen, the object of our worship is the Lord in heaven. Buddy, in heaven, in heaven and in the earth and under the earth, everyone's going to worship the Lord. Amen. There's coming a day when all the knees are going to bow. And so, listen, I think it's good to get on it now. Get in on it now, and we'll get to that a little bit towards the end here. And by the way, what does true worship do for us? What's true worship do for us? I'm not no theologian here. I ain't no doctor neither. Amen? Amen. I'm not that smart a fella, but what does worship do for us? I thought of a few little things. Worship brings us into the Lord's presence. Worship is our way of getting on our face before a holy God and bringing ourselves into His presence. And true worship is a way of God. Let me say it in my own way, in my own ignorant way. It's a way of stirring up God that He comes into our presence and He manifests Himself to us. And if you've ever been there, then you'll know what we're speaking of. True worship sets our affections on things of heaven and not on things of this earth. Buddy, I heard a preacher say, true worship is like getting yourself and your mind out of this world and then looking into another world. True worship, we find ourselves in true worship, we find ourselves seated in heavenly places. Boy, I like it when I've heard Brother Brad say it like this. I think I've heard Brother Joe say it like this before. Getting under the spout where the glory runs out. But that's when true worship, listen, I love it when there's a true manifestation of the Spirit of God moving among God's people. I like it when I see people that come to repentance and fall before the Lord and just worship God. And true worship, sometimes we just don't know how. I was thinking on this and I was sharing some of my thoughts with my wife and I said, you know, baby, I think sometimes we failed to teach folks what the scripture has to say about true worship and so many folks just don't know. People come in and they're so used to the program. Come in, sing a song, greet, sing a song, take up an offering, sing a song, time to preach. Somebody came to Ben's Four one time. We were having a big meeting up there. They asked me, they said, well, I need a program. I said, what do you mean you need a program? He said, well, I need a program. I need to know what we're going to do. I said, sir, we're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to preach. He said, but I need a program. I said, that's it. I just gave it to you. Amen? Amen. And you know, it's like Brother Jimmy said, we're going to do this, but if the Holy Spirit moves in on this thing, we're going to do what the Holy Spirit would have us to do. And there's times when we don't know really how to worship, but the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. Even in them times when we're so overloaded and burdened and grieved and don't know what to do and which way is up or down, the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Amen. And so I thank God for that. So you see, the Lord is the object of worship, and we know there's some benefits in worship. Now what about the time to worship? Jesus says the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I got this for the first time. Perhaps the hour now is. True worship, now, right now. Folks will say, well, I got to get to the church house. No, you can worship the Lord right where you're at. Wherever you find yourself right now, worship the Lord. Somebody might say, but preacher, I'm in a low place. And what I would say to you, if you're in a low place, you're in a good place to worship. Worship the Lord. You see, in the beginning of Job's troubles, when did Job worship the Lord? Huh? Chapter 1. The book's 42 chapters long, if I count it right. But he worshiped the Lord in the chapter 1 and the beginning of all his troubles. He just bowed down his head to the earth. He blessed the name of the Lord and he worshiped the Lord. If you're in a low place today and you're having troubles and trials in life, the low place is a good place to worship. But you say, well, preacher, if I could just get up on the mount, I'll worship the Lord. If things could just get turned, if God would just turn things and make things better for me, I'll start worshiping the Lord. I'll go to church if God turned things. Listen, if you're not going to worship the Lord in the low place, you're not going to worship Him on the mount. Hey, them disciples, Peter, James, and John, they went up on the mount. That was called the Mount of Transfiguration is what we call it, right? They got up there and what'd they do? The first thing they did was take a nap. They weren't worshiping the Lord. I mean, His glory started shining through. The Shekinah glory of God started shining forth from the Savior. Moses and Elijah appeared there with Him. And the boys are sleeping. They wake up and then what do they want to do? Simon Peter says, let's start a building program. Huh? If we're not going to worship the Lord right where we're at in our hard times and our low times, listen, they're not going to worship the Lord on the mount. Brother Lynn preached on it. I've made mention of it before. I like to recall it every now and then. I used to have a dream of having a big boat. I had a dream boat that I wanted to buy. One day, Brother Lynn's up there preaching, and he says, you might get yourself a yacht and sail right out of God's will. I said, there it is. He took it from me. Listen. No, sir. I laid her down right there. That thing's not on the list no more. But folks, to worship the Lord, we got to worship the Lord right where we're at. Amen. Is it safe to say around here that some folks just don't know nothing about worship? Some people will say this, just not knowing any better, they'll say, when I get to heaven, I'll worship the Lord. Listen, we need to be worshiping now. There's a good reason for worshiping Him now. We got a cause. Have you got a cause? Is there not a cause? David said, is there not a cause? There's a cause to worship the Lord. Well, I can worship God for what He's done for me. But I can worship God for what He's done for my son-in-law, for my daughter, for my boy, for my daughter-in-law. I can worship the Lord for what I've seen God do among His people. Now, touching the place of worship, the psalmist spoke as he was moved of the Holy Ghost. He said, oh, come and let us worship the Lord. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. What's the posture of worship? Where's the place of worship? Boy, it's not sitting here. It's not standing there with our nose stuck up in the air. The place of worship is on our face before the Lord. Amen. You look throughout the Scriptures and you're going to find when the people of God get to worshiping God, you're going to find what their posture is. They have fallen on their faces before the Lord. Amen. Search the Scriptures and you're going to find that the true worshipers bow the knee toward the earth and look towards the Lord. Worship the Lord where you are. Yeah, Abraham, brother Brad and I was talking yesterday, and he thought I was being a smart aleck with him, but I wasn't. I just happened to look at this verse from Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, the very afternoon, and I wasn't being a smart aleck, brother Brad. I just happened to know the address. But Abraham worshiped the Lord on the Mount Moriah when he took his son up there to offer him unto God. Talking about a low place. He's up on a mountain, but he's in a low place because he's going there to offer his boy, the son of promise. Jacob worshiped the Lord at Bethel. He called it the place, he called it El Bethel. Job, he fell down upon the ground, worshiped the Lord, and blessed the name of the Lord at the beginning of his troubles. Moses, when he had begged God to show him his glory, God says, I'll show you my goodness. God says, get in the cleft here, stand on the rock. He says, there's a place by me. And God passes by and shows him some of his glory, just gives him a glimpse of it, just a foretaste. And Moses falls on his face before the Lord and he worships the Lord. Amen. You look throughout the New Testament, you find, boy, I like the old boy of the Gadarenes. I don't think he is a madman at all. I think he is a repentant sinner, by the way, but that's another message. And listen, he's seeing Jesus afar off. He ran. He fell down at the feet of Jesus and he worshiped him. Listen, it wasn't the devils that was worshiping the Savior. Jesus, he got to Jesus' feet. He was worshiping him. And amen. And listen, the disciples, they come to Jesus. They fell at his feet. They worshiped Jesus. I like the woman, they call her a sinner. Everybody in town knew she is a sinner. You got any of them around here? Huh? We got them. You got sinners. Everybody in town knows they're sinners. I tell them, come on, come to Calvary. Amen. Listen, and this woman comes in and she falls at the feet of Jesus and she washes his feet with tears from her eyes. She dries his feet with her hair and she anoints him. She was worshiping the Savior. Amen. This is true worship. She was, listen, what about Mary? She come in there, she broke that alabaster box and she anointed the Savior. I want you to know she is worshiping Him. The disciples came after Jesus was resurrected. They held Him by His feet. They worshiped Him. Mary Magdalene, when she seen the Savior risen, she fell at His feet. She held Him by the feet. She worshiped Him. The place of worship will be on our faces before the Lord. The people of God, I still believe this, the people of God still bow the head toward the earth to worship the Lord. How do we worship? How do we worship? We worship the Lord by faith. We worship the Lord for who He is, for what He has done, for what great things He has done for us and how the Lord has had compassion on us. We got cause to worship the Lord today. Concerning the beauty of worship, it's been said beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know who's looking? Huh? I got to thinking about times when God really enjoyed His people worshiping. I thought about old man Noah, Samson's daddy. He took a kid, the Bible says he took a kid, a meat offering, and he offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel of the Lord did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on, and it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on the angel of the Lord and fell on their faces to the ground. Listen, what I see them doing there, I see Manoah and his wife worshiping the Lord. Amen. Now, more often than not, true worship, I believe we're going to find in a private time, more often than not. But I still think, and I find by the Word of God, there's times when God manifests Himself among the assembly. Amen. I like it when God manifests Himself in a supernatural way in a meeting. When God meets with His people, boy, and worship begins. And by the way, it's not in throwing fits. Amen. But the people of God worship the Lord and God engages. I thought about Solomon when he dedicated the temple. The Bible says when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. Amen. And the sacrifice and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Buddy, the Bible says that the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house. They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord. saying He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. When the Lord helps us, then true worship begins. Worship the Lord in the Spirit and in truth is what Jesus speaks of. If there is such a thing, if there is such a thing as an occupation in heaven, what's the occupation? Amen. I'm glad there's some like-minded men here. It's worship. Amen. Have you ever been somewhere and not know where you should be? Huh? Me too, Brother Lynn. I've been in one of them big old international type airports before. And I mean, I'm at a place.
Yes, sir.
I don't look like I fit in. I look like I'm lost. Sometimes people will have pity on me and say, "Sir, can I help you?"
Amen.
You ever been there? Get somewhere, don't know where you should be? Hey, it won't be like at my Father's house. You know why? He's done prepared a place for me. Huh? He said to Moses, "There is a place by me." You know one thing I learned? I learned our people's place. And every pastor here has. It's nothing new. I go in at Calvary Baptist Church in Berry, Alabama. And I'm there before anybody else there. But I know where old James sits. He sits right there. I know where Zeb sits. He sits right back there, young man. I know where his mama sits. I know where every last one of them, you know why? They got a place. And if you're a child of the King, you got a place in heaven. And I want you to know when you get to your Father's house, to the place of true worship, you're not going to have a problem finding your place. It's prepared for you. God's got it there. Won't it be wonderful there? Oh, when we get to heaven and bow before our Lord and say, "It's deja vu, Brother Brad. I've been here before." Huh? I've been here before. You know why? Because God's been teaching me something about worshiping Him in the low places, Brother Chris. If I can worship Him down here in them low places, buddy, when I get to my Father's house and I get to that place, I'm going to be able to say, "I've been here before." Oh, and it's going to be good in my Father's house. And one last thing I'm going to share with you. I don't mean to run over. I hope I haven't. What John saw, we're not only going to see, we're going to be a part of it. That's right. He saw what shall be. Huh? Revelation chapter 5. Verse 11 through 14, John says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was," I like this, "it's a bunch. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the four and the 20 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever." Church, we're going to be there with them. I'm going to be up amongst it, as Jerry Clower would say. And I'm going to enjoy every second of it. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jimmy.